Good morning. It is Friday, January 27th. It is 5 minutes after 10, and you're listening to Rob Kendall and Casey Daniels on 93 WIBC. So guess what, Rob?
What?
Eric Holcomb had a press conference.
Oh!
He talked a lot about Mitch Daniels.
Uh-huh.
But
yeah.
He mentioned property taxes.
No way.
Way, yeah. He was talking about property taxes. Well, he didn't have a lot to say about them, but he at least acknowledged that there is an issue.
Okay, Casey, so let's reset this for people. So a year ago, I think it was almost a year ago, not quite a year ago, because I think you were here when this happened. People started getting their new assessments of their property in the mail.
Yeah, and people were sending them to us.
And it was like, you know, and we were reading the most egregious ones. But, I mean, it was like segments. We were doing whole segments reading people's property assessments. And, I mean, there were tons and tons and tons that were like $30,000, $40,000 that we didn't even get to. Mm-hmm. We were reading like the 50. There were some who were 100. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just totally ridiculous. So this was right after you got here. So basically a year, maybe 10 months. So let's give them the benefit of the doubt. For 10 months ago, the governor of the state became aware, hey, there is a massive issue involving skyrocketing assessments, as did every person down at 200 West Washington Street. We are now 3 full weeks into the Indiana General Assembly. And finally, someone in a random, confused, I guess, accidental act of journalism asked the governor about the skyrocketing assessments and then the property taxes that will inevitably follow, because that's how it works. And so after 10 months of having an opportunity to prepare a well-thought-out plan and response, this is what he had to say.
We're assessing that very closely. Wouldn't be surprised if we do something during the course of this session.
They're assessing. Wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, it was Abdul who asked it.
That was you?
Yeah.
Look at him. He runs into the studio. He wanted full credit for asking that
question.
Thank you. And I'm so glad it was you.
Yours truly.
Yes.
All right. So it was Abdul who asked the question. And thank you, Abdul, because a year into this thing, basically, that's the answer you get. Can we play that again one more time just so people can say, well, you guys totally manipulated the audio on that?
We're assessing that very closely. Wouldn't be surprised if we do something during the course of this session.
We're assessing it very closely, and we might do something by the end of the session. What have you been doing for the past 10 months?
He's concentrating on his current job and promoting the state.
Now, it's interesting. We might do something. What are you going to do? Like, this is not an issue where you can just instantaneously walk out there and go, okay, here's what we're doing. This should have been Bill 1, right? We all know this is happening. We've all known for 30 plus years the assessment process is completely ridiculous, by which a single person, oftentimes not even the assessor, him or herself, but an appointed bureaucrat can arbitrarily raise your taxes $300, $1,000, whatever. And all you get out of this guy, yesterday when it was trails, $60 million for trails, we got a big plan for that. Here's the details. We're so excited. Let's go.
You're going to spend some money.
Hey, what about my property tax? Is going to make me really hard for me to live in my home. Well, we're still assessing that, and we'll do something about it.
But it's not just homes. It's also businesses.
Well, sure.
Because I do recall us getting some information from someone who was very concerned about their business because the property tax on their building was going up.
He did. I don't know if this was a follow-up question or more on his lack of candor about property taxes. Take a listen.
We're going to get at the root causes of the increases that are occurring. We need to know what is causing it per the taxing units. This is a conversation. We're in close conversation with the House and the Senate leaders.
This should enrage every single person. You are telling me that the governor of the state of Indiana does not understand why property taxes are on the rise?
He said they're going to get to the root cause.
We've been telling you the root cause on this show for 10 months. It's very simple. The assessors are assessing property markedly higher than it was 2 years ago.
Right.
And people who have no intention to sell their home are being punished because think about how ridiculous this is, Casey. People are being punished because someone else did something that doesn't impact them in any shape, form, or fashion. Mm-hmm. So you're telling me because the guy down the street sold his home and I have no intention of selling my home, I have to pay higher taxes because that guy made money on his home.
Because some rando walked up and said, no, your house is worth more. We're going to charge you more.
That is the equivalent of saying, well, some other guy sold his stock in Acme Inc. And because some other guy sold his stock in Acme Inc., I don't even own Acme Inc., but I got to pay higher taxes on my stock that I haven't sold. Or it doesn't make any sense. And the idea that the governor, because look, when it's a VIP meet and greet with Malik Muhammad, we can't get to the root cause of what Malik Muhammad was upset about fast enough. But when it comes to helping you with your property taxes and maybe potentially harming money into the treasury, well, we gotta study that. We gotta get to the root cause of that. Mm-hmm. But if you need 60,
we're going to assess it.
If Eli Lilly needs a sweetheart real estate deal, by goodness,
right
we're all over that. We'll spend $1 billion of your tax money to help mega corporations, some of the wealthiest organizations in the entire world, get all sorts of great deals through the IEDC. Mm-hmm. No problem with that. We've got to the root cause of that. We've studied and understood that. But when it comes to helping ensure you get to stay in your home, well, we gotta get to the root cause of that. That is so insulting. Mm-hmm. It's not quite insulting like when he called people who peacefully protested outside of the governor's residence a human petri dish. I mean, yeah. It's not quite insulting like that. It's not quite insulting like when he told you that if you wanted to worship outside a church in your car on Easter, he was down and cool with that. It's not quite insulting like when he tried to put you in jail for not wearing a mask. I mean, it's not quite insulting like to that level, but the idea that he claims to have no idea what's going on with property taxes is totally par for the course for that guy and totally par for the course for the Indiana Republican Party, and not one legislator is going to call him out on it. The only place you're going to hear it is right here, because those Republicans at 200 West Washington are gutless cowards who don't care about you at all, and their silence on this will prove it again.
Congratulations to Abdul for asking the question.
Yeah!
It has now been brought to the governor's attention. He also talked about Mitch Daniels. Of course, Mitch Daniels saying that he's not going to lock in his final answer about whether he's going to run for Senate. We might hear sometime this weekend, apparently an announcement, a decision is going to be made imminently.
You should totally do it right here.
Just walk in the studio like Abdul just did.
The best thing would be if Mitch Daniels didn't even have to announce he's showing up. If Mitch Daniels shows up on a Monday and says, I'm here to make the announcement, we'll be here for you, Mitch.
Yeah. Okay, so you've got that conservative group, Club for Growth, who is backing Jim Banks. You've got Victoria Spartz, who is milling it up. She's thinking about it, may run. And then you've got Mitch Daniels, who possibly will announce maybe before the weekend is over, early next week. But Holcomb was praising Mitch Daniels.
Yes.
His former boss.
Let's play a little audio, and then we'll talk about it. Take a listen.
Mitch Daniels has a sophisticated vocabulary, and he can speak for himself. And I'll wait till he does.
Okay.
Great.
So what did he say? Until Mitch Daniels speaks for himself, Holcomb is a card-carrying member of the political celibacy that he joined and started.
What the hell does that even mean?
I don't know.
Can you say that again? Because I saw that and I could not find that audio in our queue. That was the only audio I found.
Yeah.
But I know because Nikki Kelly reported it. Mm-hmm. And I'm totally sure he said it.
I think Mitch Daniels has a sophisticated vocabulary and he can speak for himself. And I'll wait until he does.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But until then, I'm a card-carrying member of the political celibacy that he joined and started.
Did he use the wrong word? Because I'm going to read.
I'm wondering if I'm using the wrong word.
No.
Am I reading that incorrectly?
No, spell it, and I'll make sure that you're using it correctly. C-E-L.
C-E-L-I-B-A-C-Y.
All right. So
celibacy.
According to the dictionary.
Political celibacy.
So according to the dictionary, Celibacy, the state of abstaining from marriage and sexual relations. Well, can you use that again just one more time?
But until then, I'm a card-carrying member of the political...
The state of abstaining from marriage and sexual relations...
That he joined and started. Wait,
what? I think he used the wrong word. There's no way he meant to use that word.
And there's no way Nikki Kelly would.
I've seen from many people that's the words he used, because I remember when I saw it that there's no way. So I don't know what he means, but here's what I do want people to remember, and this is why I really hope Mitch Daniels gets in, because not only then do we get to talk about, you know, Jim Banks voting for Kevin McCarthy 15 times, and I have no doubt Mitch will totally hold Jim Banks and his supporters, you know, accountable for that. But we get to talk about Mitch's record. And one of the things, in addition to, you know, raising taxes on poor and middle class people so that billionaire Jim Irsay could have a free stadium, or raising the sales tax when they didn't cap your property taxes and lied to you about capping your property taxes, and, you know, massive growth of a socialized medicine program and et cetera, the things that Mitch Daniels did. He's also gave rise to Eric Holcomb. Eric Holcomb is Mitch Daniels' dude. Mm-hmm. He was his right-hand man. So I really hope Mitch gets in, so we'll have some time maybe to talk a little bit about that. And let's see how Mitch feels about the, you know, because Mitch was supposedly the government cutter, you know, the blade. They called him there when he was in the Bush administration. Mm-hmm. We'll see how he feels about the massive growth of government under the Indiana Republican Party under Holcomb. I think that would be absolutely a fascinating conversation to have.
Well, yeah. I mean, they were tied together for a long time. He was his deputy chief of staff, also his campaign manager. And you know what? If you look up Eric Holcomb right now on LinkedIn, it still says that he's Mitch Daniels' campaign manager.
No way.
Way.
No way.
Unless it's a troll account.
No way.
It has not been updated in a very long time.
Somebody in the YouTube chat made a good point, and this is maybe, but if it takes this much to figure it out, he screwed up by using that word. They are asking a question. Could he be saying that he's not married to either side of the aisle?
Oh, okay.
And maybe that's it. So thank you to that person in the YouTube chat, but
he's a card-carrying member of the political not being married to either side. It still doesn't make sense.
It's the totally elitist way to word something that's super easy to say that I would expect from the governor of the state of Indiana, which is you could just say, hey, I'm not picking teams, and if Mitch gets in, then we'll figure it out.
Right.
But instead he tried to be, he's always got to be the smartest guy in every room and use words that may not even be the right words. And if they are the right words, and you got to spend forever to figure out what he's saying. Totally Holcomb. Thank you to the person in the YouTube chat.
It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. And I want us to get to this Hunter Biden niece story. It's actually Joe Biden's story.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a dealer's choice here.
Okay.
We've got a bunch of phone calls to get through.
Yeah.
So we can either do that or the phone calls, because we got so many calls about who the people with the TV shows.
Oh, well, let's hear from our listeners.
Okay.
It's your favorite part of the show.
And I agree with you. The Hunter Biden niece story is phenomenal that we absolutely need to get to, but we can do that in the 11 o'clock hour.
Okay.
Cool.
So we're going to hear from you next with voicemails on 93 WIBC.
I'm so sorry you have just reached my answering machine.
It is 20 minutes after 10. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC, and we're going to get to your phone calls in just a sec. But first, a few things that are trending this morning. Four-time Indianapolis 500 winner Elio Castroneves has ruled out running next month's NASCAR season opener, the Daytona 500. He's not going to do it. Also trending, let's see here, Wendy's is bringing back their beloved Vanilla Frosty.
Oh, great!
I know you've been waiting, right? So they replaced it earlier with a strawberry one?
Yeah, it was like a peppermint Frosty, I think.
Right, and then they had the peppermint Frosty until November. Well, and they always have the chocolate, but now the vanilla one is coming back as well.
So good.
Yeah?
Great.
Do you ever dip your fries in your Frosty?
No, that is gross.
No, that's awesome. That's salty disgusting. And sweet that's together.
Utterly disgusting.
Do you ever do that, Kevin? Please tell me you do.
No, I've never done that.
You know why? Because Kevin's a normal person. That's why Kevin doesn't do that.
I'm fairly normal. Yeah.
My first job ever was at Wendy's.
Yeah, we're going to get to that.
Was at Wendy's. I was a crew leader.
Really?
Yes. And can I tell you a secret about how they make their chili?
Sure.
Okay, so you know Wendy's has the chili, right?
Yes.
And when they the guy who's on the grill, he'll put all the burgers and he'll line them up on the grill. Mm-hmm. And people come in and order burgers and out they go. Well, there's a couple patties that will stay on the grill because they just didn't get served. Mm-hmm. And they get pushed off to the side, right? Uh-huh. And then at the end of the day, all of those overcooked patties that never got served as burgers go into a big tub. And then the next morning, they grind up that beef and that's what goes into the chili.
Oh, you just ruined it for everyone, Casey.
You're welcome. Try dipping your fry in your Frosty. It's good. You have to try it.
What is our last trending story?
Finally, Jay Leno says that he broke his collarbone, ribs, and kneecaps in a motorcycle crash just recently. Do you remember a couple months ago?
On top of getting his...
Yes. Yes.
He's like 100 years old. What is he doing?
Just a couple months ago, he had that accident with the fire in his garage where he had to go to the hospital and get some skin grafts. Well, he was up and moving around again, went on a motorcycle ride, and got himself in trouble again.
Well,
that guy's a daredevil.
Yeah. All right. So let's get to the phone call. So, okay. Casey, remember, this is the way all of our listeners should be.
Yeah.
Which is they should recognize how lucky they are to have us every single day. And what a real gift we offer them by opening up this voicemail line to the listeners, 317-684-8444. And remember, we had the guy call yesterday about the Justin Bieber music catalog getting sold. And he was so upset. And then after being very upset about the Justin Bieber music catalog, he then proceeded to feel that the cherry on top would be to rip on Bruce Springsteen.
Right.
As though that guy's opinion of Bruce Springsteen would just ruin my day. Mm-hmm. Gosh darn it. For 20 years, I have loved everything about this dude's music, but the random ass caller on the voicemail line totally changed it for me. And we said, if this is the sort of behavior we're going to get, we're just going to shut the voicemails down because we don't have to take this. And I give this guy credit. I think he got the memo. He called back.
Hi, Rob and Casey. I actually called in yesterday and was talking about Justin Bieber and the Bruce Springsteen, and I had no idea how mean I sounded on the phone. I was actually kind of lighthearted when I did that. It sounded mean when I heard it on the radio, but you don't have to put this on or anything. I just wanted to apologize if it sounded mean. I was kind of just stirring the pot a little bit was all I was doing. I'm just not a big Springsteen fan, but anyway, my name's Jared. I live in Columbus, and I listen to you guys every day. Everybody always says that, but I enjoy the show, and sorry it sounded so mean. Thanks.
Wow. That's amazing. You know what he just did? The three-step process right there. You just witnessed it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He made a mistake.
He apologized, and now he's taking corrective action.
That's exactly what we want out of our out of our listeners.
Do you think he was being facetious?
No, I think he was being serious. I think he realized he was going to get shut down.
Yeah, it sounds.
People need this show. That's what I tell people all the time. People need this show.
It sounded very sincere.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I thought he was being true there. That's great. Thank you.
All right. Let's see. What else did we get here? We got what? I'm having a total brain cramp here, Kevin.
We got one that's titled Kevin Picks
Monday.
Oh,
yes. So Monday, it's Casey's day to pick the music. Monday, Kevin will get to pick the music.
Yeah.
And this listener had a little advice for Kevin.
All right, so Monday is Kevin's day, and we're going to hopefully have an Uno Gold so maybe we can hear what music is about. But, Kevin, remember, they're your songs, so you don't have to just play 90 seconds. You can play the whole thing, and the station doesn't have to pay any money out. So feel free to play the whole song. But remember, you're sitting at the master board, so reach up and turn off Rob and Casey's mic, or no one's going to hear your music. And when are we going to start taking submissions for Listener Choice Day? Mm-hmm. Better make sure it's a day Rob's not there.
That's some good advice there. Now, I don't know if I'm going to come out of the gate with my own music for my first day. Mm-hmm. I think I need to choose some of my influences.
Wait, your first day, you get a day. Time out. When we come back, we're going to talk about this in a little more detail. But you're so into your band that you were handing out stickers to random dudes in a bathroom yesterday to promote your band. But you're on the most powerful media outlet in the state of Indiana, and you're not going to play your band when it gets offered to you? Really?
I think I should lead with my influences and then kind of, you know, give people some background to see where I come from.
You were handing out stickers to random men near a urinal to promote your band.
It was not.
And you're not going to play your band?
All right, there's context. More context to that.
He's like, let me explain. Let me. Nope. Sorry, Kevin. We got to go to commercial.
All right. So we got one more call we got to get to here. The big question has been, where does Mike Pence live? There is some debate.
Right. Zionsville, Carmel.
Is it Carmel? And somebody called in who I think may be able to settle this for us.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Rob, you're dead wrong. Give me Bob Uecker.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the wrong one. I'm sorry. We'll get to that one here in a second. Go ahead.
Yep.
I live in Carmel, not far from Crooked Stick Golf Course. And I can tell you that one of the Carmel schools where I go over and occasionally play tennis is very close to Mike Pence's home. I won't say exactly where, but he is closer to the Zionsville city limits than he is to 31.
Okay, so what? Is this a situation of a mailing address versus the real location?
He could live in a no man's land.
Yeah.
Here's what I think we should do, Casey, and I know Mike Pence, because Mike Pence knows me, and I know he's probably missed seeing me all these years. I think we should just figure out where that's at.
Mm-hmm.
We should put together a welcome package of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe first and foremost, we'll have that article that we talked about with Margaret Menge about how nobody in Indiana wants Mike Pence to run for president.
Yeah.
And then I think we should just politely just walk that up to his door and say, where the hell are we?
Uh-huh.
Are we in Zionsville or are we in Carmel?
Do you think he's even there? He's not even there.
I don't know. There's only one way to find out. Let's do it. We're coming, Mike!
No, we're not.
All right, so we got a whole bunch of voicemails about the TV shows yesterday. We had pondered where Sesame Street is on the all-time most important TV show, and we got a ton of phone calls about that.
Okay, we'll get to those coming up. It's 93 WIBC. It is 10:31. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Rolling Stones Day rolls on.
Yeah. They're fine.
Yeah. At least it's got some tempo for a Friday.
You know, I went
a little upbeat, something peppy, something snappy.
I went to see the Rolling Stones when they were at Indianapolis Motor Speedway on the 4th of July, 2015, and that was a wild and wacky day in my life.
Was there a man in the bathroom giving you stickers?
There was not. However, they only had portalettes out where I was. Here's what I did, Casey, is it is the one time in my life I actually paid a premium price for something.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a buddy who was able to get, because they section off Rolling, at least they did it at this one. I'm sure stadium indoor shows are different, but they sectioned it off. So it was like gold level was close, silver, bronze, and, you know, it's the Motor Speedway, so there's 60,000 people there. And I had a buddy who, through some connections, was able to get gold level tickets. Now, you had to pay for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I made the decision to do that, and I am so glad I did, because it was such an incredible experience. The only problem, and I didn't plan for this, was because it was open standing room, obviously. It's at the Motor Speedway, so it's all standing. So once you get your spot, because I went by myself...
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about concert etiquette here in a moment. You couldn't move or you'd lose your spot. So I was like down there in the fifth row.
You got to claim your
space.
Well,
it's the 4th of July and it's like a gajillion degrees out and you got to get there at 2 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time the Stones took the stage.
You had been standing around for 8-9 hours.
I was.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I was younger than I am now and in better shape because I might have died.
Did you take a chair with you?
No, chair? They don't allow those down there. This is not the lawn at Deer Creek.
Blanket?
No, Casey, it was standing.
You would
have been trampled.
Huh?
But anyway, yes, it was a fabulous concert and everyone should see the Rolling Stones in concert at some point.
Okay, so we've got more phone calls, 317-684-8444.
But first, we have to talk about whether Kevin committed a party foul last night.
Yeah.
Because we mentioned etiquette. Okay.
So, Kevin, you went to Bloomington last night to see a band called Mama?
Yeah, it's a band, alternative rock band from Los Angeles.
You knew you were going to be out late. You rolled back into Greenwood about 1 a.m.
Correct.
And so Rob came in early this morning and did your... your job for you.
Yes.
Yeah, Rob is a true mensch.
Yeah.
So thank you for doing that for me.
Well,
that's
and the reason I did it is Kevin's like, I'm going to Bloomington. I'm going to a concert. I'm thinking, all right, this is Kevin. He's going to go out and have some fun. He's going to be picking up chicks. Right. He might meet his future wife there. I have an obligation as Kevin's mentor.
His wingman.
To come in here early, to give up a little bit of my own time so that Kevin might have a better life. And so Kevin strolls in, literally like 4 minutes before we're supposed to do the show. I'm thinking, boy, what a wild night Kevin must have had. He was probably like had nine women on his arm. He's probably in with cage dancers. And I said, Kevin, tell me about all the chicks you picked up last night. There were no chicks. You didn't pick up any women. Why? What were you doing?
I was watching the concert.
What else were you doing?
Well, I went with the.
Come on, fess up. Tell what you did.
Yeah, who'd you go with?
So I went with the bass player for my band and his stepdad. And yeah, we're just enjoying the show, just hanging out with them.
And then at some point, Kevin.
This sounds weird to me.
Kevin randomly was like, so I was like, you know, tell me about all the women there were there and having a good time. He goes, somehow he goes, yeah. And then in the bathroom, I was giving stickers away to random people to promote my band.
Yeah, you know what my problem is? Is I never stop hustling. And it is so tough to make it in the biz that I just never take a day off.
What do you mean you were giving away stickers?
Okay, so here's the context of it. I was washing my hands in the restroom.
So you weren't actually at the urinal?
No.
Okay, that's good.
I was washing my hands.
Yeah.
And there were these two guys waiting to use the urinal. There's a little bit of a line. And they were talking about this venue called the Blockhouse. Now, this is a venue in Bloomington that we've played at before. So I overheard them talking about it. And I said, I like the Blockhouse. My band has played there before.
My band.
And so, of course, they asked me about the name, our band name. And I said, Uno Gold. And I said, hey, you guys seem like you like cool music. Do you want a sticker? And I had these Uno Gold stickers with me. You know, I'm promoting the band all the time. So I handed them stickers, and they were like, oh, wow, this is pretty cool. They seemed like they thought it was cool. And
they were grateful.
Yeah. I assure you, Kevin, they didn't think it was cool, nor did they were they grateful.
They left that bathroom like, why did that dude just give us a sticker?
Yeah, I don't know what was said when I left the room, but I mean, it was seemed like a pretty normal interaction to me.
Kevin, never, ever, ever, ever approach random people in a bathroom and offer them anything going forward. Can you just do that for me?
I mean, I was leaving the bathroom. It wasn't like I was
you
in there
using
the bathroom.
You were in the bathroom. They were waiting to use the bathroom. There is no reason whatsoever to offer any stranger anything in a bathroom ever.
All right.
Okay.
All right, mentor Rob.
And on Monday, when it's your day,
yeah,
are you going to play strictly Uno Gold music?
I'm gonna play Arctic Monkeys.
Wait, we're giving you a day, and you just said you don't stop hustling.
Wait, time out. You're so into your band that you were giving grown-ass men stickers as they were trying to use the urinal to promote your band, but on the most powerful media outlet in the state of Indiana, which you can hear from Illinois to Ohio and all points in between. No, I'm going to play the Arctic Monkeys.
I've played my band's music before on the air.
Do you just not have enough music, enough songs?
Well,
to cover the entire three-hour
show. So that is
show.
Part of it. Some of our music is explicit, so it's. I guess
you can't find 20 seconds where there's no swearing. Is there that much swearing in Uno Gold music?
I just have to map this out, you know, do some planning. But I was thinking I might show people the influences first, you know, because this isn't going to be my only themed day.
Oh, it's not.
Because I made an executive decision to take ownership of each
it
day
could be
from
your
this
Kevin
point
it could
further.
Be your last chance if you keep offering stickers to strangers in the restroom. It could be the last. Somebody is going to take offense to that, and it's not going to end well for you.
That is just called hustling,
because you, like me, Kevin, we are smaller people, and as such we would have trouble defending ourselves in a bathroom brawl.
So you think someone would want to fight me because I'm trying to promote my band?
I think approaching grown-ass men
fight wasn't the word I was
near the
use.
Urinal for any reason could not end well. There's a possibility. I'm thankful it ended well for you.
Do we have to review the Dahmer story that we talked about earlier?
To be honest, like, I thought this was a normal thing at the time.
Had you had a libation?
I had a couple, but I wouldn't say I was like hammered drunk. I thought this was like a Yeah, I didn't think this was a party foul.
No. All right. Okay, let's get to thank you, Kevin. Let's get to the voicemails here. Yesterday we were talking about how the guy who had co-created Sesame Street passed away. He was 93, and then we got on a topic of the most important TV shows of all time.
Right.
And we had a little standard for this, right?
Yeah.
What were the standards? I thought you wrote it down.
I did. I wrote it on yesterday's notes. So what was it? It was longevity, societal influence.
And viewers.
Okay, that was it.
All right. So people called. We'll just rapid fire these calls. Everyone's wrong about all the things they called about, so we'll just rapid fire them. Go.
Okay.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Matt down here in Mooresville. You guys were talking about TV shows that influenced generations. I'd have to say the Brady Bunch always had a life lesson after every show. And probably for somebody like me that's a sci-fi fan, the original Star Trek.
Yeah.
So guys are doing great. Have a great day.
Yeah. They never explain how the Brady Bunch knew how to use Zoom back then. they were on it.
Yeah.
Long before.
Well, the problem is though the longevity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Longevity is part of the equation, and in terms of longevity, like Brady Bunch, even though it was on for many seasons, is not going to compare to, say, a Jeopardy or a Wheel of Fortune or a Sesame Street or a Days of Our Lives or whatever.
He's on point, though, with Star Trek.
But he said the original Star Trek, so isn't there, like, a time limit on that? Because aren't all the Star Treks different? We should have Abdul in here.
But, I mean, Star Trek...
Different galaxies and different things.
Yeah, it was a new way of storytelling, though.
Oh, okay. All right, next call.
Hello, you're talking about TV shows, longevity. One of my favorite shows, and it still is, Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. Mm. You can listen to that now, and there's a channel that has it. And every once in a while, Biden will show up when he was a senator. And topics that are going on now, they talked about back then. So it was a good show. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Because Carson was on, what, at least 20 years, more than that, right?
Yeah. And a lot of different guests over that amount of time.
Yeah, that's Johnny Carson.
Taking on a lot of different forms
that's a strong
over the years.
Yeah. I got to look at how long he was on. I'll do that while we play the next phone call.
Yeah, this time from Satellite again. Influential shows you're talking about, longevity and influential. We have to put 60 Minutes on that list. They took an obscure guy from down south in Georgia and made a president out of him. They made Clinton a president, too, on that show. And there's been many other examples of how it's shaped American feelings about things. So if you're talking influential, definitely that.
Yeah, I got to agree with that. Now, Hammer and I don't know if you were in on this conversation. I can't remember if it was off the rails or we did it here. Got into this yesterday. Where do we compare weekly shows versus like the shows like Sesame Street or Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy that
daily.
Or daily shows because obviously they're still long running shows
right.
But they're not every single day.
Right. He's got a point. I mean, when you're shaping American politics,
that's true. It's a good point.
And the narrative that the country takes, it doesn't matter if it's daily or weekly.
By the way, and I totally feel stupid for not thinking of Carson because he was on 30 years, Casey.
Yeah.
62 to 92.
Mm-hmm.
So good one, certainly, for part of the equation. All right. I think we got a couple more left here.
I'm a 70-year-old man. My vote for all-time show is All in the Family. Mm-hmm. It set new standards across the board. Thank you.
Yeah.
He's right, but again, it comes into the thing, like whether it's Seinfeld or All in the Family or Brady Bunch or whatever, you just don't have the longevity compared to these other shows. And so, like, by today's standards, people are still watching Jeopardy. Mm-hmm. People are still watching Wheel of Fortune. People are still watching Sesame Street. People aren't actively. Now, older generations certainly are, but the younger generations are not watching All in the Family anymore.
Well, All in the Family, though, I think does get a check mark for the influential.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
viewers, no doubt.
Bringing different ideas together.
Yeah.
Because, absolutely. You know, Edith and Archie definitely had different views than their children did.
Yeah. All right. I think we got one more.
All in the Family. It was the greatest show, in my opinion, in the history of television. And it was the number one show for the 10 years it ran in prime time. No question, All in the Family.
Yeah.
So if you're to say greatest, what would you call it? Episodic television? Because it wasn't a, was it a sitcom?
Yeah.
Would it be called a, certainly greatest sitcoms it is, but again, how are you going to put that up against shows that have been on for 30, 40, 50 years? Every single day.
Well, I think the thing with All in the Family is it took modern issues and made people talk about it.
Sure.
I mean, did that show have a laugh track? I don't remember.
That's a great question.
I'd have to watch it because it was like authentic. The characters were real. I mean, everybody knew like an Archie Bunker.
Sure. No, absolutely. All right. Okay. Hammer is next. Hammer sent me a photo, and I don't believe he's accurate on this, but we'll see when he gets in here.
Okay. Hammer's joining us. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Morning. It is 10:45. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Hammer joins us in the studio. So you guys were texting each other last night?
Well, Hammer sent me a photo, and I can't read the caption that he sent to me because I like my job here.
Inappropriate.
But I don't know. It's just, you know, we try to hold our show to a higher standard, you know, maybe than other shows. But
it's a picture of Christie Brinkley, and she's in the bikini on the beach. She's 68 years old. You taking that home or not?
Okay, very good. Hammer just threw it out there. I'm just gonna leave it up to you.
Pretty.
In the face, she does because I think she's had like the stuff.
Some Botox,
she said it looks
plastic
like
surgery.
But, so you can tell in the face. Mm-hmm. However, the rest of her is still pretty well assembled.
Yeah. She looks
amazing at the age of 68. She's going to be 69 in June, and she still got it. She's absolutely still got it. Is she still Christie Brinkley getting out of the pool on vacation?
Yeah.
No, but I'm not Jason Hammer from 10 years ago, let alone 35 or 40 years ago.
You know, it is weird to see photos of skinny you. It is interesting because when I knew you, you were very skinny when I first met you.
Yes, and since then, you know, age gets you, man. It does. Like, there used to be a point where I'd get up and I'd lift and I'd run and I'd work out and I'd do all the things. And now it hurts when I put my socks on.
When did that start happening for you? Because I'm what are you 45?
Yes.
Is that right? So I'm about 6 years younger, 7 years younger than you, whatever.
You're about 4 to 5 years away.
Okay.
And enjoy it because, again, I think, as somebody who doesn't have kids, Rob, you should savor every moment of this part of your life as you can, because between kids and getting older and not having time to do anything, it's going to creep up on you, my friend.
Yeah. I appreciate that advice. I feel bad for you, but then I realize it's you, and then I don't feel bad.
You shouldn't, because I make so much money now because I'm successful. One, I can afford to eat. I can go on vacations and do what I want. Mm-hmm. It's being number one, and I'm here for it.
Let's talk about speaking of being number one.
Oh, now we switch the subject. No, now we switch.
No, it's fine. You're phenomenal. It's great.
Thank you.
I've always been a cheerleader of yours.
You have, and I thank you for that.
Speaking of cheerleading, the Beech Grove bowling team has a big weekend coming up.
They do. They are going to be competing in the semi-state high school bowling, taking place at Expo Bowl right there by Beech Grove. Kind of a home match this weekend. And we're excited. The Bowling Hornets of Beech Grove High School are there. And individual-wise, there's a young man by the name of Donnie, and he has advanced to the individual round as well. This afternoon at 4:48, those Bowling Hornets will be in studio this afternoon.
Nice.
And we're going to raise a little hell.
Go ahead.
Do they have a warm-up?
Yeah, they give them like 7 to 10 minutes, and it's just kind of a...
Practice balls. Okay, so there's no like calisthenics, no stretching involved. It's just kind of throw some balls down the lane and
remember the movie Kingpin? Did you ever see the movie Kingpin?
Yeah.
There's a scene where Woody Harrelson is walking into the bowling alley, and he's there with Ishmael, which is Randy Quaid's character, and you see all these fat guys eating nachos and pizza, and you hear Randy Quaid go, "It's kind of intimidating to be in the presence of such great athletes."
So that's it.
Right. I mean,
get some nachos.
I don't know how many people that bowl professionally on the PBA tour could do any other sports.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, you could say that about a lot of groups.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have purchased a Beech Grove Bowling Sectional Champions t-shirt.
Yes.
And I hope
it will be available after 11 o'clock today.
Okay,
it's
great.
Getting printed right now.
Pick it up for
Perfect.
You.
So hopefully they'll be making it to the there's a state finals after this.
Yes.
Hopefully they'll be making it so I can wear it because it is a cool shirt. Like I was doing it to support Hammer's kid.
Yeah,
but then
friend.
I looked at the shirt and I was like, that's kind of a cool shirt.
Nice.
It is.
Did you get a medium?
I did get a medium t-shirt. Yes. I can still wear the mediums. Do you do this, Hammer? I still weigh myself every day. I'm still very cognizant of my weight, which is how I've been so well preserved over the years. Do you still weigh yourself every day?
No. No, and I probably should because ever since I lost all the weight, you know, doing the bit on your show, I've probably put about 15 or 20 of it back.
Really?
Yeah. Again, I gain it really quickly and I lose it really quickly. I mean, you saw that in the thing that we did every week here. I could have a week where I gain 5. I could have a week where I lose 8. My metabolism is weird. So,
do you feel that that has changed with your age or have you always been like that?
It's kind of always been that way.
Yeah.
It's just the time has changed. I used to have time to, you know, work out and go to the store and buy all the right things to eat. And now, like, dads know this. You're lucky if you have time to go through the drive-thru at 10 o'clock some nights. I mean, it just, it's the way that it is.
You should be going through a drive-thru at 10 o'clock at night.
Why?
Well, that's why you're going to be gaining weight.
So just starve? Is that what your suggestion is? Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't take my kids to their events because Casey said I had to go through the drive-thru to take care of myself. Maybe some of us want to be good dads around here. I don't know.
Well, you didn't mention you were feeding children.
Hey,
I thought that was feeding your own face.
Did you see this petition that's going around by Colts fans to stop Jim Irsay from hiring Jeff Saturday?
It's dumb. Petitions are dumb. Yeah. They always are. Whether it's a change.org petition, whether it's a Jeff Saturday thing. Listen, I like Jeff Saturday. I've met the dude. He's fun. He's the kind of guy you want to watch a game with and have some beers and some wings, and he's going to tell you awesome stories. Do I want him to be the head coach? Man, he went 1-7 and blew the biggest lead in the history of the NFL. I don't think that warrants keeping your job. But petitions are the worst. You know me, I am not a protest or petition guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Never really been my thing.
Yeah, but and there is one thing, like, okay, if you have a petition and it gets a million signatures, but like this petition, the last time I checked, it's probably gone up, was like at 1,300 signatures. Mm-hmm. What is that going to do? Is Jim Irsay going to be like, well, I was on the fence,
mind.
These 1,300 people who may not even go to the games anyway,
right?
They don't want Jeff Saturday to be the coach.
Might not even be Colts fans or ticket holders or whatever. Nobody gives a damn what these people think.
Well, did you see this poll that asked which NFL fan base is the most stressed out? And the study said that it was Indianapolis Colts fans.
Right now, probably. But I think if you take a poll over the last 10, 20 years, how is it not the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, that's a good point. So our boss, David Woods, sent this to us, so we have to do this story. You know how it works. When he sends you a story, our boss will send us something and be like, this is funny, and basically that's his way of saying, you really need to talk about this today.
That's not a soft suggestion.
Yeah, on
that's
your show.
That's
so
a hard suggestion.
Let's do it. Hi, David. Hope you're listening. So according to this, they analyzed more than 490,000 tweets from fans for negative sentiment and found that 36.8% of the Colts fan base's tweets were negative.
Yeah.
That's not very good.
But also, football fans are so irrational. Like, look at Nigel. Like, we're on a text thread with Nigel during Colts games, and it'll be opening day, and they'll fall behind 3-0. You know, they lose the coin toss, the other team kicks a field goal. We're already getting, I hope they move back to Baltimore texts from Nigel.
My favorite thing about our text thread with Nige is, one, how he just disappears after about an hour and a half.
You can tell when he passes out. You can totally tell when he blacks out and passes out.
He's done.
And then for the next 7 hours through two other games, it's just me and Hammer corresponding.
He just checks out.
Also, Nigel will then awake from his slumber and realize he's lost his bet. And then he will immediately do what he calls an anger bet, which is a totally ridiculous bet that has almost no chance of hitting, but he will do it to try to make the money.
Yeah, he's trying to redeem himself,
a worse
right?
bet than the one that he lost money on in the first place. And we always cheer him on, too. Oh, that's a good one. I like that one. You know what? You should bet more.
You're instigating it.
Like, go take out a little bit on that mortgage and really hammer the Colts on the money line this week against the Chargers.
So I saw a chart that said more people are rooting for the Bengals this weekend.
Probably, and I think that's fatigue from the Chiefs being good for so long. And Joe Burrow's a cool dude.
Mm-hmm.
People like Joe Burrow. I mean, chicks love this guy. Dudes think he's a baller, could possibly be the next big superstar in the league. He plays his best in big games, but I think a lot of that is because we're so tired as a country of seeing Patrick Mahomes be good at football.
If you were the Colts, would you give up whatever it takes to get to number one? And I say this as a Bears fan, because I think the Bears can totally fleece the Colts, because I know that Jim Irsay and Chris Ballard are calling the shots over there.
Yes.
What are you, as a rational person, what would you do to get to number one?
You say whatever it takes. I think there's a limit on that. It I'm didn't not sound giving like, up three number ones.
It didn't sound like it at that press conference Ballard did that there was a limit.
You're not giving up three number ones, not for this group of quarterbacks.
I don't think Jim Irsay is exactly a limits guy either, do you? Do you think Jim Irsay's ever said, well, I've had enough of that?
If you like one of these guys, then you give up your number four pick this year, a number one pick next year, some more collateral, or a player. There's no player that's off limits on this roster.
Who would the Bears want on the Colts?
You could get DeForest Buckner, which would help you stop the run a little bit, and there's some teams that can score in that division. You could also pick up maybe one of the linebackers, not even Leonard, because he's banged up, but Franklin had a breakout year. That's a Pro Bowl guy. Kenny Moore could be available in your secondary. That comes in handy when you're trying to stop the Vikings, and believe it or not, the Lions, who scored a lot of points this year, you need help defensively. The Colts could give you that.
I just wanted to see Hammer try to sell complete trash. That's just what I wanted to see.
I saw that. Okay, so earlier this
week. Hold on. So you're going to tell me that the Bears would not take a number one next year, the number four this year, some other picks this year, whether it's a second round, third round, whatever, pick, and DeForest Buckner. That would not be a good trade for the Bears to go back three spots?
No. We could do way better than that, because here's what we can do. We can fleece the Texans at two, and I think the Texans...
Who are the Texans going to give you?
They're going to give up the two, and then they're going to give up the 12, and then I think we can get a one next year. Look, you need us, Hammer. You need us. And for all the years you've made me suffer, I'm going to make you suffer. I'm going to make you grovel, as though I have anything to do with what's actually going to be taking place. In our fantasy trade, you're really going to beg for this pick.
Okay. All right.
I read that Jim Irsay said that they're going to give seven people a second interview for the coaching job. It was reported that it was two earlier in the week, and now it's seven. So does that mean one of the two didn't go so well?
Possibly. And a couple people have backed out already. Like the Lions offensive coordinator backed out. Dan Quinn, the Cowboys defensive coordinator, he's backed out. And they can't even speak to D'Amico Ryans until the 49ers season is over, even though he spoke to other teams.
If I were Jim Irsay or an NFL owner and I were interviewing someone for a head coaching position that I didn't like, I would do like Trump did when there was someone he didn't like, because he would always end the conversation about them with, wish him the best.
Shrugs the shoulders, puts his hands up. Wish you the best.
Hey, do you think I'll be getting this job? Wish you the best.
And real quick, one more thing on the coaching. Frank Reich got hired in Carolina. All right, good for him. Nice guy. But can we stop acting like because Jeff Saturday wasn't successful, Reich didn't deserve to be fired?
Yeah.
That dude needed to be seen the door, right?
What's coming up this afternoon?
We've got Beer Sample Friday. We've got Abdul and the Bowlers from Beach Grove in the house.
Thanks, Hammer. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.